Amen. Thank you. Appreciate that song. Let's take our Bibles this morning. Open to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1. We're just going to read verses 1 through 5 this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. If you have a Bible, you can read that with us. If you don't have a Bible, the words will be up on the screen. But we're going to read this corporately together. And so we'll be in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. Let's read that together this morning. For as touching the ministry to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, you may be ready. Lest happily, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as a matter, not as of covetousness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the good singing, the special music. And Lord, we do thank you, Lord, that you walk right beside us every step of the way. Thank you that you came searching for us. Lord, that you would be willing to give yourself so that we could have eternal life. And Lord, I pray this morning that you would just work in hearts through your word. I pray that the Holy Spirit would just speak. And Lord, we would desire to walk closer to you, Lord, to do more for the cause of Jesus Christ. Lord, just thank you for what you did this past week through the Vacation Bible School and Teen Explosion, just how you spoke to hearts. Thank you for those that accepted Jesus as their Savior. And Lord, I know there may be others that may still be thinking of that. Lord, that seed's been planted. And God, I pray that you just continue watering it. And Lord, that they would come to know you as their Savior soon. And just thank you for your love for us, Lord. Just bless in our service today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as we've been going through the book of 2 Corinthians here, we come to chapter number 9. And in these first five verses, Paul is dealing with a subject that I think is very important. Of course, chapter 8 and chapter 9 are dealing with this this financial offering that the churches were trying to raise to send to the believers in Jerusalem. The believers in Jerusalem, there was a famine that was taking place. There was some persecution that was going on. And they were struggling. They were in need. And so Paul had mentioned this to some of the other churches. And they were taking up a special offering to give to them. And this morning, I don't want to focus so much about the financial aspect of it. But there's a part of this passage here in these first five verses that I think are very important. And I want you to notice what he says here in verse number 2. He says, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago. But watch what he says here. And your zeal hath provoked very many. He says, your zeal hath provoked very many. Now, what does the word zeal mean? The word zeal, when you look at this idea of zeal, we think of something that is maybe exciting, right? The word zeal means it's an earnest temper and it's excessive fervor to do something, to accomplish something. There is an enthusiasm, there is an excitement there, right? I think most of us could probably say that when Brother Shane leads music, there is a zeal there. Could we not say that? There's a zeal when he leads music, which is great. By the way, that zeal is something that even other people take notice of. In fact, many times on the front row, sometimes maybe sitting in the back, you can't see this, which is why you ought to sit closer to the front, amen, right? But in the front, many times you'll see the young people on here and they're mimicking him. They're trying to follow him as he's leading music, right? Why are they doing that? Well, because he's zealous about what he's doing. There's a zeal about what he's doing. There's an excitement there. You think about when Jesus went into the temple and he overthrew the money changers because they had turned the temple basically into a market. Think about what Jesus says as he goes in there and he says, you have taken my Father's house, which is to be a house of prayer, and you've turned it into a den of thieves. And Jesus overturns the money tables and he drives those people that were selling. He drives them out of the temple. And after he does this, after Jesus does this, the Bible says in John chapter 2, it says his disciples remembered that it was written. So when Jesus did this, something came to their mind, a passage of scripture came to their mind about what Jesus was doing. And this was the passage of scripture that came to their mind. It was from Psalm 69, verse number 9, where it says, "The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." The zeal of mine house. Why was Jesus throwing over the money changers? Why was he driving these people out that were selling the animals and things? Because he was zealous for his Father's house. He was zealous about the temple. There was a desire for the things in the temple to be done right. And obviously it was not. They were just kind of making it like into a marketplace, an exchange rate. There was exchanging of money and there was buying and selling of animals and things. And so when he overthrew the money changers, it says they remembered that it was written, "The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." Now, Paul is writing to the church of Corinth about a collection that they had promised to give for the saints in Jerusalem. And he acknowledges their willingness to give. And he commends them for their zeal. Again, look in verse number 1 and 2. He says, "For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many." So Paul talks about their willingness. There was a willingness to give, and he commends them for their zeal. But more importantly, he reveals that their enthusiasm, their zeal, had stirred up other churches to take part. He says, "Your zeal hath provoked very many." As the church of Corinth had heard of the need that was taking place in Jerusalem, they became very zealous about trying to collect an offering. They said, "Hey, this is something we need to do, and we're going to do this." And Paul says, "A year ago, you were very zealous about this." And he said, "When I began to share your zeal about this offering to other churches," he said, "your zeal provoked these other churches to have a part in this. Your zeal provoked many," he says. Now, please understand, this was not a competition. Paul wasn't trying to make a competition out of it to see who could give more. No, it wasn't a competition. But when we see what God is doing in other people's lives and ministries, it ought to inspire us to do more for Jesus as well. You think about when we have missionary letters and we read some of the missionary letters or the prayer letters that they send, and we hear about different ministries being started or different people being saved. What does that do? That kind of inspires us. It creates a zeal in us. Hey, I want to do something more for Jesus. When they come and they talk about the need in many of the different countries that they're going to, and they talk about how few gospel preaching churches there are, and what does that do? Their zeal is affecting us. Their zeal is inspiring us to become involved, maybe to go or maybe to give or pray more or something, but their zeal is provoking us. You hear about people sharing testimonies about something that God has did in their life. You're like, "Man, I want God to do something in my life like that." What is it doing? Their zeal for God and what God is doing in their life, it's provoking us. It's causing us to want to be involved. In fact, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 24 instructs us. He says, "To consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." God says, as the body of believers, we ought to consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, right? The word provoke is the idea of inspiring. It's the idea of trying to help others see the need and try to help them to see how they can be involved and how they can serve and what God can do. And he says, as believers, we ought to provoke one another unto love and to good works. The good works just to glorify ourselves? No, the good works to glorify Jesus Christ. And so Paul talks about this as he talks to this church in Corinth, and he says, your zeal hath provoked many. And I think what we find in this passage, there's a couple truths that we find here, is that it's such a vital truth, again, not just dealing with finances, but in every aspect of life, but a genuine zeal for the work of God is going to be contagious. A genuine zeal for God's work will be contagious. And this is what he says, your zeal hath provoked very many. Your zeal. And so this morning, I want to talk about a zeal that inspires. A zeal that inspires. That's exactly what Paul says here. Your zeal inspired, it provoked these other believers to want to be involved. Your zeal provoked. Again, that the idea of zeal means there's an excitement. There's something that's taking place, right? Do you remember the first day? You remember the day that you accepted Christ as your Savior? Maybe that was just this year, or maybe it was last year, maybe it was 5 years ago, or maybe it was 20 years ago, or longer than that. But you remember that day you accepted Christ as your Savior, and man, something just changed in your life. Something changed, and man, there was a desire for the things of God. There was a zeal for God. There was a zeal to do things for God. And what happens many times? After a little bit of time, that zeal begins to wane a little bit. That zeal begins to get a little bit less and a little bit less and a little bit less, right? And we've got to be careful that we don't lose the zeal for the things of God. We've got to be careful that we don't lose that zeal, because there's still much that needs to be done for the things of God. And so this zeal, this genuine zeal for the work of God is going to be contagious. I want you to notice a couple things here about a zeal that inspires. If we truly want to have a zeal that inspires others, and by the way, can I say this morning, you inspire people one way or the other. Whether you want to or not, whether you realize it or not, you inspire people one way or another. You do. Either your zeal will inspire people to do more for the cause of Jesus Christ, or your lack of zeal will cause others to do less for Jesus Christ. You say, well, that's up to them. You know, what they do is on them. Well, that's true. It is on them. But you also have an effect on what they do. You have an effect. And how many were here sometime this week, maybe during VBS or Teen Explosion? How many of you here helping? I mean, we had lots of people helping, right? Could you imagine if when we did VBS and we just kind of said, you know, guys, we're just so happy that y'all are here. And we're gonna play some games, and we're gonna learn a Bible story, and we're gonna have some snacks. Could you make sure tomorrow that you bring some friends with you? It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. So tomorrow, just maybe if you think about it sometime, could you bring somebody else with you? You think that's very inspiring? I don't think so. That's not very inspiring. In fact, if you were here during VBS, you know that did not happen. Okay. I have to say, VBS is kind of one of my favorite times of year. I love missions conference because that's dealing with missions and things. But VBS is probably one of my favorite times of year because I get to do stupid stuff. And you're like, Pastor, you always do stupid stuff. I know. But this is like fun, stupid stuff, right? I mean, I get to be crazy. I get to get other people to do crazy things, right? Our staff was eating baby food. You know, I mean, the kids were just chanting, baby food, baby. I mean, 170 kids, baby food. I mean, it's crazy, right? But there was an excitement there. And guess what? The next night, we had more kids come. They brought more kids, right? Why? Because there was an excitement that was there, right? It was exciting. Same thing, Thursday night, we had like 103 teenagers that first night. And then there was an excitement that there was there. Man, bring some visitors tomorrow. And the next night, there was over 120 teenagers, There was an excitement that caused other people to do something, right? Your zeal or lack of zeal is affecting other people. Whether you want it to or not, it is. And that's why we have to understand, God desires us to have a zeal that inspires, not a zeal that just causes, you know, people to be discouraged. No, God wants us to be zealous about the things of God so that it will inspire other people. Look, again, I'm not talking about, you know, being crazy. I'm just talking about being zealous for the things of God, being excited about the things of God, right? Notice a couple of things that Paul tells us here. Notice, first of all, if we're going to have a zeal that inspires, it must be a zeal that originates from the heart. You can fake an excitement for a little bit, but people will eventually see through it. You can fake that excitement. You can fake that zeal for a little bit, but it's gonna be visible one way or the other. Notice what he says here in verse number 2. He says, "For I know the forwardness of your mind." Paul knew that the Corinthians were eager. They were ready to give. There was an intentional, eager mindset about this. He said, "I know the forwardness of your mind." And again, true zeal begins in the heart. True zeal begins in the heart, right? I mean, there's a desire about something that is there, okay? Have you ever watched any sporting events and things, right? You watch football or baseball or something like that, and you see people that they are very excited about those games, right? They're excited. I mean, they deck themselves out. They're all dressed in the color and everything. They're zealous about those things. And like the whole game, they're not, I don't even know why they sell seats. They should just be like standing room only, because they never sit down. They don't ever sit down, and they're screaming like the whole game, you know? And you understand, it's something that they're excited about. And as a Christian, there ought to be an excitement about the things of God, but it needs to come from the heart. It's not just some outward focus, but it comes from the heart. Not from pressure, not from manipulation. Well, you know, I've got to be excited when I go to church, because if I'm not, pastor's going to call me out. You know, I've got to be excited about teaching Sunday school, you know. No. It ought to come from the heart. It's not a manipulation, it's not a pressure to do this, but a willingness, a joyful desire to serve God. And again, sometimes we can, because maybe just life happens and things, we can kind of get a little depressed about some things, and we can kind of start getting discouraged about some things, and maybe that zeal isn't there like it ought to. But here's the wonderful thing. We can go to God, just like the song said. We can go to God, and he's going to be right there, and he's going to encourage us, and he's going to strengthen us so that we can have the zeal that he wants us to have. But it's got to begin from the heart. If we're looking at outside things to get zeal from, if we're looking at, well, I'm going to go to church and I'm going to let the singing give me zeal. No, that's not going to happen. I'm going to go to church and I'm going to let the preaching inspire me. I'm going to let the preaching give me zeal. No, that's not going to happen either. It's got to come from the heart. It's got to come from God himself. And this is what Paul is saying. There was something that God had placed upon their heart. They said, "We want to do this." Again, this readiness is not just about resources. It's about a spiritual desire, a heart of obedience for the things of God. Hold your place here in 2 Corinthians and go over with me to the book of Titus, chapter 2. Titus, chapter 2. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, chapter 2. Now, obviously, there's some amazing verses here. In verse number 11, he says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." So he talks about how, as a Christian, we are to live. He says we're to live soberly, righteously, and godly. And he says denying the ungodliness, denying worldly lust, right? It's not supposed to be about the outside. He says, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So we're looking for Jesus Christ to return. We're anticipating his return. We're excited about his return. But notice what he says in verse 14, "Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, and watch this last part, zealous of good works. You understand what God says here? God says that his desire is that when he saved us, when he saved us and he gave us a home in heaven and he made us one of his children, God says he has made us a peculiar people. In other words, we're to be different from the world, right? We're not to be the same as the world. We're to be different. But he says, zealous of good works. Again, not good works just to please the community. Not just good works to please our... No, good works are for God. There's a zeal to do something for God, a zeal for these good works to bring glory and honor to God. Can I ask you this morning, do you have a zeal in your heart? Not from pressure, not because of, you know, being in church, not because we sang some songs or whatever, but do you truly have a zeal in your heart for the things of God? If you do, it will be noticeable. But here's what's so sad is that many Christians, they're saved. There's a time when they can go back and they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, but they just have no zeal for the things of God. There's no excitement about the things of God. There's no anticipation. There's no excitement about being in church around God's people. There's no excitement about singing the songs of praise to God. There's no excitement about opening his word and reading it and learning of him and drawing close. There's no excitement about the things of God anymore. Can I say, friend, you may not realize it, but it's evident to others. It's evident. Because that true zeal for the things of God, it's going to come from the heart. And it's going to be evident. There's going to be it's going to show. Just like Paul said, man, it showed in their life. It originated from their heart. There was a desire for them to do this. Before zeal can inspire others, it must be real. It must be rooted in a heart that is surrendered to God. A heart that says, God, whatever you want, I'm willing to do. God, I want that zeal. I want that excitement. Look, friend, if you're looking for it just in a job, if you're looking for it in money, if you're looking for it in possessions, if you're looking for that excitement of the things of God from the world, you're not going to find it. You're not going to find it. But what's so sad to me is that so many Christians, when they get discouraged, life just kind of throws them some curveballs and things like this. They don't quit the things of the world. They quit the things of God. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. God didn't quit on you. God didn't quit you. He didn't say, well, hey, he's going to quit on me, so I'm just not going to go to the cross now. Jesus didn't say that. And yet, it's like when things get hard and tough, the very first thing we do is just quit on God. No. That just shows that what's in the heart, there's no zeal there. There's no excitement for the things of God. Here's the great thing, friend. You can get that back. You don't have to keep going through life without that zeal, without that excitement. If you will surrender your heart to God and you'll say, God, I want to follow you. I want to be obedient to you. I want that zeal back. He'll give it to you. You remember when David sinned? And David sinned greatly. He committed adultery. He committed murder. And when his sin was finally pointed out, David didn't say, God, I need to be saved again. No, he didn't need to be saved again. But there was something that he lost. What did he lose? His joy, his zeal. And what did he say? Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Aren't you glad that we can go to God when we're discouraged and down and we can say, God, I need that joy back. Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me, I've messed up. I haven't been doing what you want me to do. Lord, would you restore that joy? Would you give me that zeal again for the things of God? And friend, can I tell you something? He's gonna be right there to do it. But you've gotta be willing to surrender your heart to him. You've gotta be willing to surrender and make it right with him, and he'll do it. You see, there's a zeal that originates from the heart. Number two, may I say, this zeal that inspires action in others. This zeal is going to inspire action in others. Again, he says, your zeal hath provoked very many. The word provoked means to stir up, to motivate, to spur into action, to get excited about it. One of the things that, one of the reasons why we do some crazy things in VBS and stuff like this, I mean, we've done some crazy stuff. I've ridden motorcycles into the church. We've brought Jeeps in. We've brought tractors in. We've done all these. You know why? We're trying to cause excitement. We want people to be excited about it. By the way, can I say that's one of the reasons, and I'm not trying to be disparaging here or anything, but that's one of the reasons why many churches in Eaton will find out when our VBS is, and they won't do their VBS the week that we're doing ours. There's an excitement about ours. There's people love to come. I mean, I've talked to people that say, man, our kids look forward to this every single year. Every year they look forward to coming to your VBS. They look forward to the teen explosion. Why? There's an excitement there. It inspires others. And this is what he says, your zeal hath provoked very many. It has stirred them to action. It has motivated them. The Corinthians' enthusiasm, it lit a fire in these other churches, these other believers. They didn't just commit. No, they were inspired. They were the reasons. The Corinthian church was the reason that other churches had gotten on board with this offering. And now Paul is referencing their zeal of these other churches now to inspire the church of Corinth. We've been going through this a little bit, and you saw Paul says, hey, you had a zeal about this a year ago, but what happened? That zeal kind of waned a little bit. It's kind of dropped off, right? But he says, but because of your original zeal, that encouraged others to be a part of it. And that's why we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 about the churches of Macedonia who were destitute, who were poor, who were being persecuted and afflicted, and yet they were willing to give because of the zeal of the Corinthian church. And now Paul is saying, hey, look at their zeal. Their zeal is now inspiring others to do something for God. Their zeal is now inspiring the Corinthian church to act upon what they had committed over a year ago. You think about Moses had a zeal for God. Joshua and Caleb had a zeal for God. Even though everyone turned against him, everyone turned against Moses and said, no, we can't go into the promised land. Joshua and Caleb stood up and they said, hey, no, we can. We can do this. If God be for us, who can be against us? Hey, God's going to take care of this. He's going to fight the battles for us. We can go in and we can conquer. What happened though? The zeal of the other 10 who were negative and said, no, God can't do that. The discouraging aspect of the other 10 convinced the nation to follow them instead of following God. You say, oh, my actions aren't going to affect anybody. Oh, friend, you have no idea how many people are affected by your actions. Whether you have a zeal for God or whether you're just going to be like those 10 and say, no, I don't think we can trust God. I don't think we can do it. I don't think God's going to be there with us. There's just too many obstacles in the way. And it led a whole nation not to follow God. You know what's really interesting about that passage though? 40 years later, when they finally come to the Jordan River and all of those other people, who said, no, God can't do it, we can't do it, and it's not going to happen, they all died in the wilderness, except for Joshua and Caleb. And Joshua and Caleb got to go into the promised land. Why? Because they had a zeal for God. They said, we can trust God. We can know that God's going to do this. And yeah, there may be obstacles, and there may be giants in the land, and there may be difficulties, but you know what? Our God is greater than any of those obstacles. And there was a zeal that they had for God. And it inspired others to do this as well. You think about others throughout the Bible who've had a zeal for the things of God. Those that were zealous about what God wanted. You think about David. David had a zeal for God. It was very obvious. Yes, he sinned. We know that. But you can't read the scriptures without seeing the zeal that David had for God. You think about Paul. Paul had a zeal. And it inspired others. But you remember what Paul says about Israel? Paul said Israel had a zeal for God too. They had a zeal for God, but what did he say? But not according to knowledge. They were zealous about religious things, but he said they don't know who God is. You see, zeal, this zeal that God wants us to have, this zeal that Paul is speaking about here, it is to provoke others. It's to inspire action in others. What are missionaries trying to do when they come in and present their ministry? They're trying to inspire others to action. They're trying to say, hey, there is a need. Would you be willing to go? There's a need for the gospel to be preached in many of these nations where it's not being preached. Would you be willing to go? Would you be willing to give? Would you be willing to help? What about when we have a marriage conference? What is the speaker trying to do at our marriage conferences? He's trying to inspire you to action in your marriages. The ladies are going to go to a ladies' conference here in just a week. And then later on, we have a men's conference, and there's going to be a teen conference. What is the speaker they're trying to do? They're trying to have you to take action in some area of your life. There's a desire. They're trying to inspire you to act upon some things. So will we act upon what God is speaking to our heart about, or are we just going to say, no, I'm just not going to do anything for God? May I say, this is one of the greatest unseen effects of faithful Christian service, because others are watching and others are moved to either follow by your zeal or to quit because of your lack of zeal. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, well, I'm just not going to come anymore. I'm just not going to do it anymore. How come? Well, this person doesn't do it, so why should I? This person doesn't come, so why should I? This person isn't faithful. Why should I be faithful? You see what they're basing their zeal on? They're basing their zeal on the action of someone else. And that person may not even know what this person is saying. But because someone's watching, they're seeing what you're going to do, and your actions inspire people either to do more for God or to do less for God. You think about men like Polycarp and John Wycliffe and William Tyndale and Obadiah Holmes. You say, I've never even heard of some of these people. It's amazing how when these men lived, they were serving God. They were some of these, William Tyndale and John Wycliffe, who were trying to translate the Bible. And can I say, at that time, they probably weren't thinking that what they were doing was inspiring other people. And yet, years later, they're still inspiring other people. David Livingstone was a missionary to Africa. He's been dead for years, and yet there's still people reading about the life and legacy of David Livingstone and his zeal for the things of God. And people are saying, hey, if God could use David Livingstone, God could use me too. Men like Hudson Taylor, men like Jim Elliot. Man, people are looking at their lives and saying, hey, if God could use them, God could use me. Can I say this morning, if somebody was to look at your life, what would they say about you? Would they say, hey, if God can use him, God could use me? Or would they say, where is that person? Where are they? They say they're a Christian, but there's no zeal for the things of God. You see, our zeal ought to inspire others to action. None of these men thought that their actions would inspire others throughout the centuries, but they did. They did, and they still are. What will your legacy be? When you're gone, what will people say about you and your life? Well, they say, man, that man was faithful. That woman was faithful. They were just always there. There was an excitement there. Oh, they weren't a pastor. They weren't a preacher, but there was an excitement there. They were always in church, and they were faithful, and they loved the things of God. And man, they inspired others to follow God. Or would they say, you know, I'm not really sure about that. They said they were saved, but they just never did anything for God. There was never an excitement there. There was never a zeal for the things of God. You know, this zeal is like a single spark that can ignite a forest, or a match that can light candles. Your obedience and passion for God may be the spark that sets someone else on fire to do something for God. Maybe through ministry, maybe through missions, maybe through your generosity, whatever it might be, but you could be the very spark that someone else needs. Your zeal could be that spark that helps somebody else do more for the things of God. May I say, thirdly, this zeal requires perseverance. Notice what he says here in verse number 3. He says, yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready, lest happily they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared. We, notice what he says, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boast. Paul says, I'm sending some brothers before us. I'm sending some people to you to prepare this offering, because he says, you were zealous about this and now your zeal affected other people, but now I'm encouraging you. And he says, if we show up and you don't have anything, you haven't prepared anything. He said, it's not just you that's gonna be ashamed. He said, we. Paul said, I'm right here in this with you. He said, we will be ashamed because you're not ready. You're not doing what you said. You see, it requires perseverance. He says, he sent the brethren lest our boasting of you should be in vain, that ye may be ready. That's why he says in verse 5, therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. He says, man, you've got to persevere through this. Yeah, I know it's been a year and maybe some difficult things have happened, but you've got to maintain that zeal. You've got to keep that fire for the things of God. Don't just get discouraged. Don't just decide to quit. Man, you've got to persevere. If you're going to have that zeal that's going to inspire others, you've got to keep going. You've got to persevere even when it is difficult, even when it is hard. You've got to keep going. You've got to keep following the Lord. Doesn't matter what anybody else does. You keep following God. You think about David, when David had gone out to battle and he comes back to Ziklag, and what does David find? He finds that the city has been destroyed and that his family has been taken captive, and all the men that are with him that had gone out to battle, all their families have been taken captive. And what is, I would say that would probably be a kind of a discouraging time for David. In fact, it was so discouraging that he began to hear that his men wanted to kill him. I'd say that's kind of discouraging. You know, if I heard whispers that Shane and Brother Joel wanted to kill me, I'd be a little discouraged. You know, I'd be a little discouraged about that. You know what the Bible says David did? David didn't be like, oh man, everybody's against me. Everybody hates me. So I'm just going to quit. I'm just going to give up. No. The Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord. It was his walk with God that got him through that. It wasn't somebody else's walk with God. It wasn't the pastor's walk with God. It wasn't the spouse's walk with God. It wasn't your spiritual leader. No, it was his walk with God that got him through that time. You know why many times we just want to quit and give up and don't want to do it? Because our walk with God isn't what it ought to be. We've given up on our walk with God. We've already given up on the inside. And so what's happening on the outside is just a reflection of what's happened on the inside already. We're just going to give up. No. Paul says you've got to persevere. You've got to keep going. You've got to put it into action. Again, he was concerned that if their zeal didn't result in action, that it would bring embarrassment and hindrance to the ministry. Again, zeal without that follow through, zeal without that perseverance can cause discouragement rather than inspiration. If we're not going to persevere, if we're not going to keep going, if we're just going to quit when things start getting a little bit tough, it's not going to inspire others to continue. It's going to discourage them. You see, I kind of like how Paul puts this. It's not how excited you start, but it's how you faithfully finish. He said, yeah, you started with excitement, but here's what I want to encourage you. Finish faithfully. Finish faithfully. Do what you're supposed to do. Doesn't matter what any, if no other churches do it, you do what you're supposed to do, church in Corinth. You finish faithfully. Can I ask you? If nobody else is going to stand for God, would you? It's easy to stand for God when everybody else is, right? But what if nobody else stood for God? Would you still stand for God? Oh yeah, Pastor, I'd still stand for God. Can I tell you, if you're not willing to stand when there's a multitude of people, you're not gonna stand when there's nobody. If you can't be zealous of the things of God when there is people to encourage you and help you and strengthen you, can I tell you this, when you're on your own, it's gonna be hard for you to have a zeal for God. because it's not going to come from the heart. It's not from your heart. It's not from what God is trying to do. And so Paul says, man, that zeal ought to come from our heart. And as we do that and that inspires others, then we've got to persevere and we've got to be faithful and we've got to finish. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he said, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now, was Paul perfect? No, Paul was not perfect. Paul was not a perfect man. Were there times that Paul got discouraged? Were there times that Paul may have thought about giving up or his life was in danger? No doubt, Paul talks about those things. But he said, I didn't quit. I just kept going. I persevered. And he said, I finished my course. I've kept the faith. I did exactly what God wanted me to do. And now he says, it's time for me to go home. And here's what he says, I'm ready to be offered. I'm ready. I'm ready. I haven't been perfect, but I have finished faithfully. I've finished well. You see, faithfulness confirms the integrity of our zeal. The Corinthian church, they had zeal. That zeal had ripple effects far beyond them, and it inspired others to be involved in the work of God. Your faithfulness, your giving, your service, your joy, when done zealously for the things of God, can provoke many others. And you may never know on this side of eternity who's been inspired by your example. But why don't we have a zeal that inspires others? Why don't we ask God, say, God, would you give me that excitement for the things of God? Would you give me that zeal for the things of God so that I can inspire others? It may not be here and now. It may just be because you live faithfully, your life was faithful, and people can look and say, man, that man, that woman, they were just faithful, and that's gonna inspire me to be faithful. It's gonna inspire me. We have people in this church. They're not the pastor, they're not a Sunday school teacher, but they're just faithful. They're just faithful. They're faithful. And you know what? Can I tell you something? It inspires me. It inspires me. I want to be like them. I want to be faithful like them. Day in and day out. Their walk with God is there. That you can see the joy of the Lord in their heart. I want to be like them. Are you inspiring others with your zeal for the things of God? Or are you discouraging them? Be someone who has a spiritual passion to lift others up and help them to draw closer to Jesus. Cultivate that zeal, not for attention. We're not just trying to get attention. No, that's not what it is. But so that others may be stirred to glorify God in their lives. Finish. God's given us a race. Every one of us, from the moment that we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, he's given us a race to run. Finish it. Finish it. Doesn't mean problems aren't going to come. Doesn't mean difficulties aren't going to be there. But there ought to be a determination in our heart that the word quit is not in our vocabulary. We're just going to keep going. We're going to finish well. Why? Because we want our life to inspire others to follow God and serve him as well. That zeal that inspires others to bring glory and honor to him. Father, I pray that you'd work in our hearts this morning. Lord, in each person here today, Lord, I don't know the heart of any person. Father, I pray that you would give us a zeal, give us a passion for the things of God, an excitement. Lord, I know sometimes there can be discouraging things that happen in life. Lord, may we be faithful. May we persevere. And Lord, that our zeal, that our perseverance, our faithfulness would be an inspiration to others, that they would say, I want to be faithful like that person. I want to have a zeal like that person. They're just always excited about the things of God. They're just always there. I just want to be faithful like them. I want to have a part in that ministry. Man, that missionary came through. There's an excitement there. I want to have a part in that. Lord, help us to have that zeal that inspires others, not for ourselves, but for Jesus Christ and for your glory. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking about this morning, I wonder maybe this morning, maybe there's somebody here today and you say, Pastor, I'm not even sure if I'm saved. I'm not even sure if I'm saved. I don't know Jesus as my Savior. I have no idea where I'd go if I died today. I hope I go to heaven, but I'm not sure. Maybe there's someone here today, you say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not sure where I'd go, but I'd like to know how I could go to heaven when I die. I'd like to know how I could be saved and have my sins forgiven. If that's you this morning, would you just slip your hand up and put it right back down? Nobody's looking around. Just slip it up, put it right back down. I just want to pray for you this morning. You say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Just slip it up, put it right back down. And Christian, can I ask you this morning, you say, Pastor, I know I'm saved. I know there's been a time when I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And friend, can I ask you this morning, how's your zeal for the things of God? Have you lost that zeal a little bit? Maybe this morning when the invitation starts, maybe you just need to come and say, God, would you give me back that joy? God, I need that joy. I need that zeal for the things of God. Maybe this morning it ought to be just, Lord, would you help me to have a zeal that inspires others for the things of God? Lord, I want to be excited about the things of God so that others can see that excitement in me. If God spoke in your heart, maybe you need to come as you begin the invitation. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. The piano's just going to begin playing softly. If God spoke in your heart, maybe you need to come. Say, Lord, I want that zeal for the things of God. I want that zeal to inspire others. I don't want to just quit when things get tough and hard. I want to be faithful to the end. Faithful till you call me home. He says, your zeal hath provoked many. In your life, you're affecting people one way or the other. Are you affecting them to be more for Jesus? Or are you affecting them to be less for Jesus? Maybe even right there in your seat this morning, you just need to spend some time in prayer. You can come to the altar if you're able to, if you want to. Maybe we just need to come and say, God, forgive me. I've lost that zeal for you, for the things of God. I want that zeal back. I want to be excited about the things of God. Inspire others to be excited about the things of God.